When he calls me I will answer when he calls to answer when he calls me, I will answer. I will be somewhere. I will be somewhere listening for my name.
That's the unmistakable voice of Della Reese with one of my favorites by her, Hush, Somebody's Calling My Name. It's from her 1998 Grammy-nominated album, My Soul Feels Better Right Now. Della Reese, born Della Reese Patricia Early, in Detroit, Michigan, died, as you know, last Sunday, November the 19th, at her home in Los Angeles. She was 86 years old. Life had taken her down many roads: singer, actress, television talk show host, producer, and finally pastor of her own church, which she called Understanding Principles for Better Living, or the UP Church. In many of her careers, she made her own way and blazed trails for countless other people coming behind her. She'd been married 3 times. She'd lost an adopted daughter to a very daunting disease, pituitary disease, in 2002. Several years of her life were spent battling a number of ailments that made her life painful and challenging. But the record shows she went on through it all anyway. And that speaks to an indomitable spirit. And that's where we're going today. It may sound a little churchy, a little spiritual, but from time to time, the travails of the world seem far more daunting, far more powerful than our capacity to cope, let alone resist. Yet we go from day to day trying to do our best, we say. But is it our best? Or are we living within boundaries already set and constantly being reset, trying to find a safe place within ourselves in a world that is going crazy? So that's the philosophical slant of our program today. Are we really doing our best? Do we even recognize that we are constantly being penned in for all kinds of reasons, none of them really rational, none of them really fair? But we are constantly being boxed in to boundaries that we dare not attempt to exceed. We are intimidated even to try. We don't feel up to it. We don't feel we have the capacity to leap beyond boundaries because we've spent so much of our lives being shaped psychologically, mentally, to stay within them. Why? Because it's safer there. Because we don't have nearly the capacity to overcome these boundaries as the powers do. They have all kinds of ways to frustrate our effort. And in so doing, we conform, and in conforming, we prove what I consider to be a myth. We prove the myth that, in fact, we can be controlled. We can cancel out those things that are important for us to do and to achieve. We can be counted on to ally ourselves even against our own interests. We can be counted on to behave. And so we have from time to time to take stock of ourselves, I think. What are we about? Anyway, what is the goal? What is the mission that we're on? And are we going anywhere with that? If we feel that we are, that's great. But, you know, the funny thing is, in talking to friends and acquaintances and neighbors and so forth, I get the distinct impression, even with myself, that we are nowhere near what we had imagined years ago our goal would be. Or goals. We are people who wake up, for the most part, every day, finding a way to fulfill somebody else's mission, somebody else's plans for us. We don't yield really any benefit from it. We certainly don't yield a personal benefit or a psychological or emotional benefit from it. In fact, we become more and more tired of serving somebody else's plan, of being a cog in somebody else's wheel. And our interaction with the world largely is confined to that, very little beyond it. We don't engage it literally in creating something. We are not engaged, for the most part, in building something, in truly supporting an effort, in truly creating change. Some of us are too tired, or our attention to these things is so dissipated by what life demands that we pay attention to every day. And it is because, I think, we're not asking enough of ourselves to do our best for ourselves. Because in all these ways, we are the ones we want leadership from. How prepared are we right now, right this minute, as leaders? I don't mean the kind that, you know, is on the campaign trail and pursuing the office of President of the United States. I mean the real revolution happening right in your household, in your neighborhood, in yourself. That's the real revolution there. In so many ways, you see people going about life and they look so modest. You know, they look like, well, they're just going about their day to day, unaware that in real life, they are some of the most important soldiers in our revolution, because they're devoting their energy, their time, their concentration, their effort to this revolution. Creating better people, creating better lives, creating better circumstances for people to live their lives in. It may not look like they're doing anything at all except what we all are expected to do. You wake up, you have a cup of coffee, you go to work. You spend a very tedious day at the office, you come back home, you have another cup of coffee, you go to bed. It's not supposed to be that way. It shouldn't be that way. We all are placed here. We all are part of the world, it seems to be, to do something spectacular, even if it looks ordinary. But it will be spectacular in its result. It may look very ordinary that a person would wake up one morning and sweep a sidewalk in front of his house. That's very ordinary. But it is spectacular. Because it makes a big statement about that person's value. Not just for this portion his house occupies on a block, but the incentive he's giving to other people to value what they have as much as he values what he has. And thereby, you create an entirely different block. That people would be proud to just walk along on the sidewalk and admire this clean, clean block. There's order. There is pride in collective action, but it takes just one person to start that. And that's why that person is no ordinary person. That should happen more and more where we live. These ordinary acts that are in fact spectacular because they encourage people not just to do things, but to be different, to internalize this one concept of what you're worth, your value, individually, and therefore, by extension, collectively. The possibility is there. These are the kinds of revolutions we need. But I fear that we have suffered terribly from the instructions that we have been given, which of course are not elevating. The instructions we have are to perform the tasks given and then go home. We don't care about what happens to you when you go home. We're not here to give you instructions of how to elevate yourself. We're here to pay you a certain amount of money for your labor and then to get lost. We succumb to the idea that things are so big. We just can't cope with that. We can't manage the enormity of things. And I've been thinking more and more that the enormity of things is not where the victory is. The victory is in bringing the enormity of things down to the simplest common denominator within manageability. Thirty years ago, in Chicago, the mayor of the city, Harold Washington, died. He wasn't in office that long. But for the time that he was in office, Chicago blossomed. Chicago was on its way in a way it had never been in history. Because he gave Chicago a vision of what was possible when the enormity of cohesion seemed completely out of reach. This was a fractured city. This was a city that had no hope, really, except to follow what came before. But they didn't count on Harold Washington. Having the guts to tackle that long, sad, and sorry racist history. And he did. And Chicago seemed to bristle with the promise of growth and new ways of doing things and correcting the errors of the past and looking forward to a different kind of life, breaking down barriers that had existed for so long at almost every level in Chicago. But that was 30 years ago. And Chicago has died. One person came along and gave Chicago a sense of real possibilities and achieving incredible goals by just tackling simple things. And the people of Chicago, for the past 30 years, have not been able to rebuild or to build on what he was able to build. The leadership is dead. It's gone. Doesn't exist anymore. So you can see the contrast and the consequences that are so devastating when people accept that they can do something inspired by a very courageous leader, inspired by the thought of breaking through these boundaries that were carefully constructed, especially for people of color in Chicago. Where did that go? Chicago today is the exact opposite of what a Washington, Harold Washington administration was about. Tackling, you know, the saying, how do you kill an elephant? One bite at a time. So I'm asking today your earnest reactions to the question on the table. Where are you? Where do you feel you are in the scheme of things? Are you in that, like most of us, have we receded? Have we gone back as little lambs into our predefined and predetermined boundaries? Or do we have it? Do we really have even the intent of trying to overcome these things? What are we encountering as we attempt, many of us, as we attempt to make a modest contribution toward progress? What are we encountering? And therefore, what do we have to do? What should we make our mind up to do as the song we just heard from Della Reese. It's an old church hymn, but essentially it's asking, what am I here for? What do you want me to do? Somebody's calling my name. In other words, somebody is trying to inspire action. Calling your name means to take inventory. Somebody's calling your name into action. Are you satisfied that you're doing what they want you to do? To be part of this coalescing of effort so that we can build a better tomorrow. Even as we rebuild ourselves, because we're all damaged, you see. We're all damaged. Many of us, because of an incredible strain of racism in this country, supremacy, white supremacy in this country, we carry the virus of self-defeat. We don't see things happening because we just can't see where the creativity and the energy would come from, where the instructions would come from. And we look for that magical person to ignite what should be a natural part of our being. It's their job to inspire us, as opposed to us asking ourselves the question, what am I here to do? Well, that's where my head was all weekend long. And I thought I would ask your participation in answering this question. How are you dealing with it? Where do you think you're going? Do you have a handle on it? What can you share with us to invigorate us and to strengthen us? These are the questions I want us to ponder today. We'll take this little break while you compose your thoughts, and we come back right after that.
When he calls me, I am going to answer. Yes, when he calls me, the morning, the afternoon, the evening that he calls me, I am going to answer him. Yes, I will. He's going to call.
You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Utrice Lead, and we're going a little bit philosophical today, setting aside the craziness of politics and other issues that have distracted us for so long, and coming to terms with some essential questions that we need to be asking ourselves and demanding of ourselves if, in fact, we believe ourselves to be part of something that is so large, but still must happen if progress is to be made, and everybody having some role in it answering a call. The call is within us. It's a natural call. It isn't about, you know, what am I going to eat at work tomorrow? It is about, what do I do to advance my family? What do I do to improve my community? What do I do to make myself a true agent of change? Could you deal with it? Call 888-874-4888. You know, I could understand the reticence because everybody goes through it. We don't see ourselves as agents of change. Really, we don't accept it. We see it as something other people should do and throughout history actually do. But that's them. That's their role. Their role as leader is to make up the deficit of our inability or unwillingness to prepare ourselves also for leadership. We're looking to people. And are we doing anything to change course? John from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm okay, thank you. How are you?
I should have said, hanging in. I know that's one of your funny expressions. I agree. By my fingernails. You asked, where are we and where are we going? That was one of the questions I actually responded to, or I am calling about. And my thinking is, we are in purgatory and we're on our way to hell. That's where we are. And as to what we can do about it, I don't know. I know that voting is complete farce. And he said, what kind of honest contribution can we make, even if we were, let's say, the President of the United States? You can't make an honest contribution because you can't find another honest person to make a deal with. Everyone, and I mean outside perhaps Elizabeth Warren and Dennis Kucinich, who's no longer in the Senate, you can't find somebody that isn't on the take, that isn't corrupt as far as our government is concerned. This is my experience since I started paying attention. The day George W. Bush became our president. Right now, I used to be considered a dissident, but the way they categorize me now is because I'm someone who aspires and has pledged an allegiance to the Constitution, which is, that, and the fact that I think 9/11 was an inside job. Now I'm categorized as a terrorist. Can you imagine? So I guess there's something to be said about that, I guess I want you to call it an adage. The word is escaping me. It's getting tongue-tied at the moment. An adage? One man's terrorist is another man's patriot? So I don't know. I don't have much hope for the future, and that's kind of where I stand at this point in time. I wish I did. If I thought going to church would help. Apparently now they're in on it too. if you'll go online and look up what used to be called the New World Order, which is now being called Agenda 21. Which is what the ultra elite have in store for us for the 21st century.
But John, let me ask you. You've sure. outlined a number of things that are political. I was actually asking more so for what you understand your contribution could be, irrespective of all these other things that are swirling around. You and the rest of us, what could you see yourself as contributing?
I see myself as contributing by making this phone call, by speaking my mind, in spite of the fact that I'll be shunned with most of the people that I speak to about my feelings about where we are and where we're going. That's what I can do, and you know, and I think it'll be short lived because the jackboots are going to be kicking my door down soon. You know, I've been outspoken. I've spoken on the radio about it. I've written poems about 9/11. I've tried to have them published, but of course nobody would publish it because it's not the official story. And you know, it's pretty depressing. You know, so but I'll keep on keeping on, you know, until somebody convinces me not to do it anymore. You know. No. I don't know.
All right.
That's my contribution.
Well, thank you. Thanks for starting the conversation off today. Thank you so much. Ali from New York, how do you respond to the question?
Yeah. You asking us to give it an idea of our contribution and also to be, I want to be an agent of change, and I don't know if that will happen. And where can we go? Where are we going? That's what you're asking us. And I'm going to tell you what I did on Friday. You know, that day that they called it Black Friday because they had to use the word black. So I'm a black woman. So this is what I did. I belong to a very small group that we meet every Friday. And I always have put the idea to go out there on that day. Because our group is very small this year, I never thought that it would happen. But I told another member, if it's just you and I don't mind to do what we're going to do. So I actually, last Friday, I got up. I thought about what I wanted to put on a sign. I didn't have cardboard. And I went around and I got one box on that Friday. It was early in the morning. And I took it with me to Macy's, where they have those display, the windows, right between 34th and 35th Street. We got there a little bit after 3, and I wrote all the signs. I actually did it myself, and there were 4 of us. These signs, they were non-political, okay? But I will have to tell you, I don't know how we're going to be an agent of change and where we are going. Because I knew where these people that were going. People that even afraid you trees to even look at the sign and to even read the sign. And I'm just gonna pick because they're not very worthy, and I could just read 2 signs. And they're non political. But people that even afraid to see you out there. Like that gentleman who just called, it's true. I tell my husband one day they're gonna knock him at our door. And you know who they're going to be looking for. So this is one of the signs said. We need, unquote, made in America again. Dump Trump's brand until jobs are back. The other one said, unquote, made in America. Boycott Trump's brand until jobs are back. We had 4 signs that they were almost the same wording. And I have to tell you, I don't know when there's going to be a revolution like in Russia, like when the peasants went out and took power, not for too long, but took power. But I'm going to tell you, I don't see it in this country until things are really, really, really bad. I don't see it. I have to tell you, at the end of the night that we were there for almost 2 hours. Let me tell you, I don't know who called the cops, but there were about 5 cops with rifle and bayonet behind us. I was the only person of color, and the other 3 people, they were white. And I just have to tell you, people they pass you by like you have leprosy, you have some kind of disease that they don't want to be associated with you. So you are asking us, where are we going? I think we're going down. And this nation is going down fast. But people are not waking up. They're not. And I have to tell you, I'm always out there.
Ali, what makes you, from all the things that you could do, what makes you get up and try to find a piece of cardboard to make a sign and you're present and accounted for? What makes you do that?
Let me just tell you, it makes me, first of all, my complexion, my color. Every time that I go around this city and I see the jobs that people like us are holding in this city, jobs working, making less than $15 an hour. And I just look at all these young people that they have no future, and I'm not even including now just kids of color. I'm even including white kids. That is what it gives me this idea and all that I wanted to fight to live a better world, not for just for my family, for my child. I have one son, but for everyone. And that is what I get this. I'm going to tell you, I cooked on Thursday. I was very tired, but I got up because I knew I wanted to do this. It's something in me that it does go out there. And even if, and that was my contribution on that day, just to wake people up. Because I know, even though they, I know that some people, they're not reading the sign. I know there's some other people that, even if we don't see it, they know what we have on those signs, and maybe they will wake up. If you will wake up at least one person a day, we will have a lot of people. And that is, I'm telling you, I wanted to live a better world for everyone, for everybody. And that is, you know, why I get up in the morning and I always thinking about doing something. So that was my contribution on that day.
Well, thank you, Ali. I know that many, many times that when we call in, it is because it is connected with something that you're doing to achieve just that, to get people's awareness and to hopefully get them thinking about another way, a new life, a different way of living. Thank you so much for calling today. Walter from Virginia, you're on the air.
Yes, hello, Eutrice. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I am well, thank you. And also hello to the Eutrice Lead PRN family.
Thank you.
In direct answer to your question, where we are going is more of the same and worse in terms of being divided politically, divided ideologically, but most importantly, divided economically. What we can do about it are things that you have mentioned on your show numerous times, and Gary has mentioned on his show numerous times, in terms of getting out of debt, only buying things that you really need, and basically contributing to those organizations which you feel are worthwhile and can make a difference. About a week or two ago, you had a show where you mentioned something extremely significant and very, very poignant, and my ears picked up. And you had said something about what you had personally done in terms of having an electric bill of only $8. I thought that was extremely significant because if you multiplied that by 100,000, 500,000 people, and they take the difference in what they're saving on their electric bill, and put that towards a worthwhile organization like a Gerald Celente organization, Occupy Peace, every month. Let's say the difference is maybe $10, $12, whatever that is. That could have a significant impact on building those organizations. Because the way we could make a difference is basically in two ways, volunteerism through grassroots and then supporting the grassroots with our dollars so that they can grow and expand. And by growing and expanding, they can get out their message to more of the mainstream so that people can wake up.
But you know, Walter, one of the things I really was asking was, do you feel that you are operating within boundaries, or do you feel that you are moving beyond boundaries now?
Well, what do you mean by boundaries?
Well, the role of the citizen, the typical citizen, is to go to work and avoid being on the dole, as the larger society sees it, then you would be successful. But have you developed an understanding? Have you developed a really strong analysis of the world as it exists, and therefore things that you personally can do to improve conditions?
The answer to that question is absolutely. I have gone beyond boundaries of the day-to-day conditioning that we generally get from the mainstream media and society, and definitely from the government, to basically be obedient workers, okay, to their benefit. And so the first thing that I've done is I've taken a page out of what Gary had recommended, is to get out of debt, so that I'm no longer beholden to the entities and the organizations that wish to control me by virtue of having been in fear of loss of something because I owe something. So what that done, then that's given me the freedom to basically expand my efforts in other ways. So, like I said, supporting organizations, having time to be available to support various causes physically. And I've broken out of the mindset that everything that the mainstream media and the government tells us to do is correct. There was a quote on one of Gary's shows that said, it's dangerous, from Voltaire, that said, when the government is wrong, it's dangerous to be right. And so I've been dangerous to be right for a long time.
This is fantastic to hear, especially coming after Ali and John. This is very, very, it is very heartwarming. And I'm delighted to hear this, that you are a conscious person. And that's a victory in itself. Thank you, Walter, for calling in today. Henry from Chicago, how are you?
I'm hanging in there, Utrice. How are you doing?
You stole my line. I'm giving it back to you. I'm hanging in here, too.
Well, greeting to you and the rest of the PRN and Lead Stories listeners and callers.
Thank you.
Can you indulge me again on the question on the table? What was it again?
Are you in your own way seeking to defy the boundaries that we've been living in for so long? And in what way are you breaking through?
Well, I will say this. To honestly say right now, I'm trying to work within the boundaries of my life to kind of do the work that I'm called to do right now. What I mean by that is, and I guess I can do this, in a recent encounter I had with a woman that I work with, she told me, and this was very encouraging for me, but, you know, we work in a place where there are a lot of credential educators, and she told me that she gets a lot of information from me, and I'm the only one that actually provides, like, resources, and where did I get this from? Because, you know, a lot of people would just tell you information and don't give you, like, any references or anything like that. Well, I'm the type of person that suggests books and where I got this from, and she says that none of the people that she gets the information from do that. So I guess, you know, my contribution, too, is when I do give information that I always explain, okay, where did I get this from? Did I get it from experience? Did I get it from a book? And not just rattle off information, you know, like most people are doing right now, because, you know, in the age of the Internet, there's a lot of misinformation going around, and people are just, you know, believing what other people are saying. So I don't know. I mean, other than just, you know, being available to do, you know, certain grassroots tasks, you know, on times where I'm not working, then I guess that's kind of like my contribution. But I'm probably not called to be, Martin Luther King or Malcolm X or anything like that, but just do what I need to do in order to, keep the movement of waking people up going. I know it's a slow process. I know some people don't believe that, we're making any headways, but I believe we are, because the world is constantly changing, and I think the system is realizing that people are waking up, so they're constantly changing it.
And so you know what you're doing, Henry. Can I tell you what you're doing? Doing education. And the word is very interesting in its roots, e meaning out of, and ducere, to lead. You are leading people out of a state of not knowing into a state of knowing. And that's what a real educator does. And it's in its best form when that is the intention. So, congratulations.
Well, thank you. Well, me, myself, I listening to your show and listening to other people, I would credit you for some of what I process as far as information, because, I still feel you're one of the few people out here in media that will, present information and not just, say something and not give a background or some sort of reference behind it. So I credit you for some of what I picked up over the last couple of years.
Well, I would say you're well on your own, and I urge you to continue, because this is the best kind of education, when people are brought out of a state of, I don't want to use the word ignorance in the way that some people might interpret it, but it's just that you don't know. And then somebody crosses your path, and suddenly a whole world opens up with the knowledge that you're sharing. So good work. And I thank you for doing that. Thanks a lot for calling in today. Marshu from Spring Valley, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, this is Marshu calling. And I'm a 91-year-old therapist. And,
you're a young person. You're just in your teens.
Well, I've known Gary since 81, so I have to be young. Followed him. And so I've been spending the past 5 years writing a book. And because I'm a therapist and have found that it's so beautiful to be able to help people help themselves. And the book I wrote that is going to be it's going to be on Amazon this Thursday. It's about people helping themselves. And the reason I spent 5 years working on this is because I figure, I have 10, 15, 20 more years to live, and after that, I'd like this information to be there for people. So it helps people help themselves. And very simply, the protocol is in the book. And my feeling is that no matter what is happening out there politically, and in 91 years, I've seen a lot of different things happen, a lot of changes politically, and how it affects us. And I remember seeing Franklin Roosevelt drive in his open car right in front of me, from way back there. So a lot of changes politically, but it's the individual that has to survive. All the changes, real changes, come from down under. All the social changes, the economic changes, happen from us down, from the bottom up, not from the top down. And of course, we are in a very difficult drastic situation in the world right now. It's terrifying. But the only hope is for the individual to know themselves, know who you are, and act accordingly so that you're not influenced by every ill wind and good wind or whatever that is happening outside of you. And that's what the book is about. So very simply, you will like the name of it. It's called From Birth to Death, with sex in between. Right. That's what everyone says. Because that's what it's all about, isn't it? And so it has all the chapters pertain to, you know, from birth to parenting, to choosing people, to careers, to senior sex, to retiring, to losing people, all the things that we encounter in our lives. And then at the very end is the protocol that helps you help yourself. Very simple, step by step, so that you know who you are and you can get rid of all the shackles that come from school, parents, society, and you know what's in your gut, who you are, and be it. So
now, as it pertains to you,
yeah,
it's a book and what you have done, in your view, within your boundaries. Are you operating with constraints, or have you succeeded in bolting through?
Well, the book is coming out, it's coming into Amazon on the 30th, and everyone around me can hardly wait to get it because they know who I am and what I can do. And I'm hoping for worldwide reading. And the reason I'm hoping, that is my biggest hope and dream, so that people all over the world who can help themselves in some way reading this book.
But I was asking about you.
Yeah, what about?
Is this for you a breakthrough for yourself?
Oh, yes, yes. I've been breaking through since I was born.
All
the stuff that you go through in your life, you know, you constantly, and I'm a breaker thrower, I think, you know, and that's why I've survived. And, I'm a Nichiren Shoshu Buddhist. I did that when I was in my 40s. I worked with Gary, you know, since 81. I'm always out there trying to know and do things that are beneficial for me and other people, and that's who I am.
I'm afraid we have to end it because we're out of time. That's
okay.
The end of our program. But what a delightful call to hear from you and what you are doing. So stay tuned. Coming up next, Meditations and Molotovs with Vincent Emanuele. I thank you so much for joining me today and for giving us a good little, a little push today for our psychological health and to give us the encouragement to persist and persist. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.